This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Conversation, because you even reference it. I reference it in the break. Like, Draymond Green talks about the fans all the time in his podcasts, right? The great Draymond Green show.
Clay.
You know, Steph even mentions Steph, Twitter fingers. Like, yeah. These guys mention it.
But those are legends.
But those are made. That's exactly what I was getting to. Those are made guys. Elliot Ramos isn't a made guy yet.
Javon Kinlaw talked about fans.
He did. He wasn't a made guy. And I don't think it, you know, we perceived Javon Kinlaw saying it. Like, maybe he's just being such an imposing figure. Fans are just like, okay. But Elliot Ramos earning the right to speak about a fan base. What do you make of that? Like, players having to earn the right to talk about it.
I'm just asking a question. I just think that I get where you're coming from. We are looking so deep into something that I don't think is that deep.
For fans, it is.
I personally don't think any of his statement was that deep. Sam, I want to ask you a question because you're in these scrums. I think this is important in the context. What's that?
Orange and black, we can wrap. Plug
yeah,
the show.
The plug. My bad.
Come on.
Okay. When Scott Ostler is going to write an article like this, when is he approaching these guys, and what do you think the set? It could be a variety of them. So lay out how, because I interpret a difference between I'm standing at a scrum, there's six or seven different people there, all with their phones out, asking me a question, and I know whatever I say is going to be picked up by all of them versus you and me are talking. How did Scott Ostler probably go about writing this article?
So in one like this, so as I've mentioned before, usually about 3 hours before the game, there is an hour period where the clubhouse is open for all media members to go in and interact with players. Sometimes there are full-on scrums. So, for example, when Drew Gilbert arrived, everyone crowded around his locker to interview Drew Gilbert. Hey, how are you? What do you like to play? Blah, blah, blah. You can also do a thing where you just kind of go up and talk to players one-on-one. So sometimes, like, you know, the other day I went up and just kind of, you know, was chat with Landon Roop. Hey, how's your arm? Blah, blah, blah. Stuff like that. So you can do these one-on-ones as well. So in his case, like what Scott was probably doing, I did see him in the clubhouse on Saturday. He was doing the solo thing where he just went up, hey, can I chat with you for a couple minutes? And then they chat for a little bit and then everyone goes their separate ways. So what I'm guessing happened is Scott was making his rounds, chat with a couple guys in the clubhouse, and he probably had an angle because he is a columnist. So if he is at the games, then the Chronicle probably wants him to go for a specific reason. Whereas the beat writers are there every game. The columnist, you know, sometimes he has to go to the Niner game. Sometimes he has to go to a Cal game. Sometimes it's a Giants game. So my guess is, you know, the Chronicle said, hey, go to the ballpark. We want to hear how people feel about Bob Melvin. So he goes into the clubhouse. He finds a couple of the team leaders, which is what you would want to do in this situation. I saw Logan Webb was in that article. I saw him talking to Logan and obviously Elliot too. And he just went up to him, I'm assuming, and said, hey, can we have a conversation here? And then that's where that came from. So this wasn't said in a big old scrum. This was one of the one-on-one type interviews.
Okay. The way I interpreted it, where it would be different had he stood at a scrum and, you know, and he's getting dressed or whatever. And he's like, you know, the fans, they just don't know. Like, to me, they're different. Is it different for you?
I think so a little bit, because you just, it's a little bit more, I would say, just conversational, I guess.
Yeah.
When you're chatting one on one with a player. It's also different when you're chatting one-on-one when you're not recording either. Mm. You can be a little bit more open in that sense as well. But
that's a good point.
I do kind of wonder, and maybe this might be a good question to ask actual players, like, when you're in a scrum versus one-on-one, like when you're in a scrum, you got all these people around you and you're really kind of packed in there. You don't have any space to move. I do kind of wonder if when you got everyone kind of talking at you, if your answers are a little bit different versus a one-on-one conversation. That I don't know about. I feel like you'd have to kind of ask the players themselves how they approach those different interview situations.
That's a good point. Thank you for clarifying that. I it just, to me, I think that we're so, just as a fan base, the Giants fans, and myself included, we're so angry, and we're so pissed, and we're so frustrated. Any little thing, we are just going to blow up and just crush that individual.
Well,
and I'm like, come on, guys. Ramos.
What we do. That's what we do.
And I'm not saying that Ramos, you know, probably shouldn't have said fans not once but twice. I just don't think that he was trying to crush the fans. That's not how I interpreted it. And I don't think that he knew it was going to, you know, take off the way that he did and interpreted the way that he did. And I think it's being interpreted a little over the top. That's my personal opinion.
All right. From the 650 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line, people go to Giants games when they are bad because the ballpark is an experience in itself. Versus going to the Niners, the whole experience is the game itself. The difference between when a Niners team is bad, fans not showing up in baseball, which there is some credence to that. It is literally one of the most beautiful ballparks, if not the most beautiful ballpark in all of America. So, yes, that is true. But even in the years past, like, people weren't showing up just for the ballpark. So there is something that's shifted this year in particular, I believe. That being the team, that being the direction, no Farhan, feels a little bit nuanced, but something has definitely changed this year. I just, you know, when I'm reading the comments, and I understand fans that are upset, the Jordan Walnut Creeks, the Richie and Queens, when they felt like, hey, this guy hasn't made his bones totally with our organization yet. Please don't talk about the fans. It is just a losing battle in general, Joe.
I would agree there.
Whenever you bring up the word fans as a player, unless it's positive, like then it's a losing battle. Like Matt Chapman, I think I have a quote right here, or I did have the quote. I think it just got replaced. It's okay. But he talked about it. Actually, I can read it out to everyone. But he said it, you know, on Sunday after the home crowd on Friday, Chapman was talking about it. He said, quote, obviously, we haven't been able to get much going, especially at home, and I feel bad for our fans because they come out here and they support us every single night. They pay their own money to see to come and see us, and we haven't been playing good baseball for them. Regardless if we win or lose, they stay all game. It's packed. Everybody here feels that. We want to win for a million reasons, with the fans being one of them. See, that's fine. You only can talk about the fans in a positive angle, though. Like, we always want to win for them, win for them, win for them. And then you got guys like Ramos defending his manager from the fans. It comes off different. But I understand both sides of it. So
say the quote again.
From Matt Chapman?
No, from Ramos, please.
Okay, Ramos, outside people don't know anything. That's the type of person
he
is.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Outside people don't know anything. Media and fans. Keep going.
And
that's the way I interpreted
that.
That
feels like a shot if I'm a fan. It's like, you guys don't know anything. Yeah, what do you know? You're fans.
But I'll add on to it. There is some truth to that, because I've said on the show before, we're in there for an hour.
Totally
we only see so much. There's certain areas we can't run off to. So even as media people, there are things that are happening that we don't see. I've been very open that there are a lot of things going on down there that I am not seeing.
But when you say outside people don't know anything, you're basically saying we're just stupid.
Well, you're
interpreting that.
No, but that's how a lot
this is
of
what
people
think,
perceive.
No, this is
that.
Where I think, you know, speaking in multiple languages. What?
I hear you on the multiple languages thing, but also when you start off your quote by saying outside people don't know anything.
Well, what if he said
he's fully cognizant of what he is saying?
I think you're looking to be triggered. Then I think that's ridiculous.
Fans are looking to be triggered.
We're on the inside. You're on the outside. You guys only know a fraction of what we know. How is that any different from what he just said?
Well, it's much different. He just literally said outside people don't know anything.
I said it in a different, more eloquent way. Like, so it was a little more crude. So what? This is where I think we gotta stop being so Karen-like. It's honestly making me angry. How the sports and competition, be tough. The second you say something that I think I could get a little sensitive on, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well,
come on.
That's where we're at in society.
Come on.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco.
Have any of you ever competed at anything in your life?
In Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laugh Among Studios. I compete every day to get that legal off in time. I have the quote from Matt Chapman now. Do you want to hear it? He feels bad for the fans.
Yeah, you know, it has been a rough stretch. Obviously, we haven't been able to get much going, especially at home. And I feel bad for our fans because they come out here and they support us every single night. You know, they pay their own money to come see us, and we haven't been playing good baseball for them. And regardless if we win or lose, they stay all game. It's packed. So, you know, everybody here feels it. We want to win for a million reasons, and the fans being one of them. You know, so I think that, you know, like I said, I got sidetracked there, rambling there about the fans. But, you know, it has been a tough, it's been a tough stretch. And, you know, the good thing is the people that are in front of us haven't pulled away. I mean, if you look at the standings, we're still five games out of the wild card. There's still a lot of baseball left. We play a lot of the teams in front of us. So, you know, regardless of whatever's happened, there's still, you know, there's still a lot of important games coming up, and we can still do something special. So there's belief in this clubhouse. You know, we haven't been playing well. It sucks to lose. It's not fun when you lose a lot, and you feel like you've kind of missed some opportunities. But I think that everybody here still understands that, you know, we still have a chance, and there's still a lot of games left, and we can still do something special this season, and there's no reason for us not to go out there every single night and, you know, have that mindset.
And that was Matt Chapman over the last weekend. Obviously, Chapman getting shut down with soreness in his hand that he injured a few months ago. I'm not here to say that Elliot Ramos is taking the fan base for granted right now when it comes to all these people showing up to the game, but guys like Matt Chapman and people and players that have played for multiple teams and teams where the fans didn't show up, i.e. Oakland, California, where Matt Chapman played a majority of his career, I think that gives a guy like him a little bit more perspective, and he does feel bad for the fans because he's been in situations where fans don't show up. Now,
we don't know how Ramos feels.
Did you listen to what I just said?
Yeah, I know,
I'm saying Chapman's been in the league a lot longer than Elliot Ramos has as a major leaguer, so his perspective on fan bases is different and more nuanced.
Maybe.
He's played on multiple organizations.
But Ramos has also played in AAA and AA for years where there's no one at the games as well. So we don't know
what his major
path
leagues.
Is.
That's not the major
You can't speak on Ramos's path to the bigs. I don't think that's fair.
I never said it was path to the bigs. I said it's his time in the bigs, which is different.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have perspective, that he doesn't think that the fans, that he can't be appreciative. We don't know that.
I'm saying a guy like Matt Chapman is
Matt
much
Chapman's
more...
getting paid $150 million. I don't want to hear from Matt Chapman, quite frankly. I disagree with your point. That's because he played for the A's. He understands how important it is to have fans in the stadium. Now, these guys that play in the minor leagues play in front of nobody, too. You know, like
Ramos, the minor leagues. You just said it. No one goes to minor league games. No one cares about minor league games.
You can't be a... So because you played in front of ballparks where it's completely empty, you can't be appreciative of going to the bigs and playing
Chapman's
on the grandest
more
of stage?
Appreciative of the
I
fan
could make an argument
full.
That Matt Chapman's more numb to it because he's been in the bigs for longer. So, like, I think it goes both ways. We don't know how Ramos feels.
You know how I feel about the Valkyries taking on the Phoenix Mercury tonight at 7 o'clock? I feel great about it. And Brian Baldy will be joining us next segment, by the way. We can ask Baldy about the fans. And you can hear the Valkyries game right here on 95.7 The Game and on the Valkyries channel via the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries. Also watch the game on KPIX+. Pre-game starts at 6:30. We are up against it. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back. Brian Baldinger, 7:30. Baldy breakdowns are back. We'll get into some 49ers talk. And that's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It was Elliot Ramos Day yesterday in San Diego, but Giants win 4-3. Dwayne Kuiper on the call, NBC Sports Bay Area. We're going to be joined by Brian Baldinger here in about 11 minutes. Brian Baldinger, R95.7 The Game NFL Insider, Baldy Breakdowns. You know him, you love him, NFL Network, former NFL offensive lineman. And I want to ask him, Joe, but I think we'll lead off the entire interview asking him about whether or not he's had a teammate or two call out the fans after a game, and how, you know, the ramifications of said comments reverberated maybe either on the field or not. He played in Philadelphia, Joe, and we know about Philly.
Crack.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he also gets it from players that he feels, Baldy has referenced that players that he has critiqued have walked up to him and voiced their displeasure.
Yeah.
So right?
Yeah.
And I think Baldy's pretty darn optimistic 9 out of 10 times, but then he'll put out a video that people maybe don't agree with, and they'll walk up to him and they'll say something.
Oh.
And I give Baldy a lot of credit because Baldy faces the music.
Great point. We had John Bosa, father of
Nick
and Joey, a couple weeks ago, and we asked him about Baldy, and he's like, I got a bone to pick with Baldy. I didn't like how he was going at, Nick in some of these videos and saying these things. But he said it in a fun way, and it was all in jest, and they were all cool about it. But yes, like, that's why I appreciate guys like Baldy, though, too. He could be buddy-buddy with you, but at the end of the day, he's going to call it like he sees it. He's going to tell you what he sees, whether it's Max Crosby, his boy, Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Micah Parsons, all these players. He'll go at them, and it's not just defensive end exclusive. He'll go at offensive linemen, head coaches. It doesn't matter. Baldy will go at everyone, and he is not going to sugarcoat, and that's why we appreciate having him on every week. 10 minutes, Brian Baldy.
So, Joe, I think we can agree on one thing. Anytime the word fan is used or fans is used, it becomes a trigger point.
Yep.
We all have people in our lives, family members, friends, whatever. There are certain topics that are just like trigger points.
Yep.
And I think anytime fans are referenced at any point, it's a complete trigger point. So you better be careful. So obviously the guy's learned a lesson in the sense of anytime I ever bring that up again, whether he meant anything or not, which I don't think he did, but whether he meant anything or not, from here on out for the remainder of his career, he probably will know, like, if I bring up the F-A-N or F-A-N-S thing, I better be acutely aware that it will be wildly taken in context, out of context, and everything in between.
I think we can both agree on that. When you use certain words in a fan base, The word fans from a player, if it has to be positive only, like Chapman was saying, like, we need to give the fans a reason to cheer. If it's anything but that.
Such a word salad.
I know it is. But he's said that. Bob Melvin has said that. And when fans are showing up like they've been showing up for a losing product the last few months, they only want to hear positive. And that's kind of the society we live in, too. A positive, positive, positive. I get that. But it was interesting to just see the whole ramifications of said comments yesterday, because I think Giants fans in general, too, just wanted a reason to explode. And that's, you know what? They needed to just blow off some steam yesterday or today. And that's what we're doing. We're blowing off some steam. You're angry. You're mad. You're frustrated. You don't care that they've won the last two games. I feel you. And they were looking for any reason, Joe, to just drive
there's
in
no
and
doubt.
Dig in. That's what we
there's
do.
No doubt.
That's
there,
what we do. Just give us
no
a reason to blow up, and we will as fan bases.
I just think
that's not baseball inclusive, by the way.
No, it's every sport. I think. I mean, freaking Kyle Shanahan and Ayuk get into it over shorts, and it just becomes this huge thing. Remember the short gate?
Yeah. Oh my.
Yeah. Exactly. So like, but that's a great example. We're going to fast forward a month from now, and the season's going to end. You're barely going to remember this Ramos thing come October. You're just barely going to remember it. When we talk about the season as a whole, and we look back, this is such a tiny nothing burger to me of just all of the issues that have arisen during the season that I find what we're doing, this exercise, ridiculous.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got our guy Don in Concord. Haven't heard from him in a minute.
Hi, Don.
Wants to join the conversation. What's up, Don? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, two Joes. How you guys been?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, you ready for this? Hey, you know we got Baldy coming up. Baldy's breakdown on the game in San Francisco.
Is that what I mean? Got,
Don? Oh, no. I need. Well, we're cutting that, Don.
I kinda
don't
like
worry.
That.
We're cutting that. We're producing that. Thank you.
You sound like the Westwood One guy.
That it, Don? Oh, he's gone. That's it. That's literally. I thought he wanted like.
Corners drop and head out. There you go.
You know what? Great. Good stuff. Don and Concord producing on air for us. Just call in and just have a rejoin. Why don't you? We do got Baldy breakdowns coming up in 6 minutes. I am a sucker for that entire open. As it is Shark Week. I think we had him on last week before we were at Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale. And I had a nice little tidbit, but then I went to throw to the open. It was nothing there. It was crickets. I'm not mad at you guys in the back. You guys crushed it that
no one was
day.
Covering first when you went to go throw.
That, you know, that happens.
It not was like Randy Rodriguez in the ninth inning yesterday with Rafi Devers leading him. It was beautiful.
It was an Elliot Ramos moment for me where I had to eat it, as he would say. I had to throw it into the ground and just eat that moment. But Jaws,
it always goes back to the tuck rule.
It does. You know what? It absolutely does, Joe. And it will always go back to that play. My dad's six Sam Adams Boston Lagers deep sitting on the couch.
Forget Ramos. Saying it, forget Ramos saying it. Can we also agree? Fans are gonna fan, and I embody the chaos of a fan in the sense that I'm conflicted at every turn. One minute I feel like this team is still in it, the math is there. The next minute I'm like, fire everyone, burn it all down to the ground. We stink, trade everyone away. Like, we all run the game. That's part of the beauty of sports. It really is, and I just. Like, whenever a player acknowledges, you know, fans will be fans. We're like, what? How dare you identify us properly? It's like, that's literally what we do.
How dare you identify us properly?
Am I wrong?
That's pretty.
Am I wrong?
That is honestly, that quote is, if I could have a quote for San Francisco in the Bay Area, how dare you identify me properly is pretty good.
That's pretty good. Like, it's like, and that's like my thing yesterday. It's like, yeah, we're hella mad. Like, that's Giants fans are like that. If there was one way to describe them right now, hella mad, right?
Right.
Not even the slogans.
It's not even Giants fans. I do think this is a culmination because there's Giants, Warriors, Niner fans, all three of them. We're all just angry. It's all, we are just waiting to explode
angry
on something.
Birds.
We have the Kuminga crisis. We don't even know who's suiting up for the Niners. Everyone's hurt. The Giants are in a free
fall. So is that the slogan? You know how they do like Giants slogan, like together we're SF or like it's a fun time.
No, it's together we're miserable.
No, that's it's hella fans. Angry.
Hella
Hashtag
angry.
Hella angry.
Misery loves company, Joe. That's all I'm going to say.
That's exactly,
I have nine brothers and sisters and that is the most true statement ever. Misery loves company because there's always going to be be one sibling at whatever family event that's angry or disgruntled, trying to ruin it for everyone. We all tell them to shut up or leave, and that's what we do. All right. By the way, there could be a reality series on my family, like on the E or whatever. Oh, yeah? They're insane. The significant other is, I got like 15 nieces and nephews. I don't know any of their birthdays. We're just going to keep counting and counting and counting. Literally, we are a clan from Game of Thrones. There's just too many.
What's your crest? What's your family crest then?
It would probably be a sword because Spadoni, like the root word of it is sword in Italian. So it's probably like a sword or something.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
It's technically sword, but my dad says like our family is like we're like gardeners or like farmers, so it was like a spade, if you will, like kind of like a sword. So you never know, maybe a spade. There you go. Yeah. The more you know, Joe.
Yeah.
The more you know. What about Shasky? Does that mean anything? Your last name? Do you know?
Well, we think it was chopped off from Warshawski. So
okay. Yeah. Like from Warsaw.
Well, from Poland. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, there you go. Warsaw. But we don't know where exactly. And so there's a lot that goes on. Apparently, the Polish Civil War. They fled the country and came this way. And that's the Polish side. But the Irish side has been over here building the railroad since the 1880s.
Oh.
Both sides of my family.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
The more you know. By the way, we are going to
live. The Porters and the Maddens.
From the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. John Madden, you related to him?
No, but my grandmother's father, so my great-grandfather, kind of abandoned her. She lived in a boxcar downtown in the city. He was a boxer who died in the barber chair. Yeah, because he used to box
people.
That's
a crazy story.
No, there was like a poster. He used to box people for money. That was the Irish way, right? And he had a heart attack during, getting his hair cut or getting a shave or something.
Must have been a bad haircut.
Yeah.
Too soon? Too soon for that one? No? Crickets? Applause? Come on! Stand up. Tuesdays.
My grandma was born with nothing. So, you know, it's a story we hear about all the time.
That's pretty. No,
her and her mother were basically, you know, homeless and living in a boxcar downtown.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah, I know. It is an incredible story.
See where you are right now. You're hosting the morning roast.
She's 97, 98.
No, still with us?
Fighting.
Oh, my goodness.
Still drinking the pipe cleaner, a.k.a. the straight Costco vodka.
Oh, my. Oh, Kirkland?
Oh, dude.
Kirkland straight.
It is a handle. God love you, Grandma Frances. She's the best.
Can we ever do a coach? Can we ever do a remote from a Costco, like in the warehouse? Is that possible?
So
I would love to do a show from a Costco.
So Costco now has Molly Stone's doing Costco things.
Okay.
Where they put out samples. And yesterday I went to Molly Stone's and they had various cheese samples.
What is Molly Stone's?
Molly Stone's is like a fancier, not as high scale as Whole Foods, somewhere in between Albertson, Safeway and Whole Foods.
Gotcha.
It's really nice. So I love Molly Stone's. Yes. Really nice. High quality meat. Nice. I actually like it way better than Whole Foods. But anyway, neither here nor there.
Whole Foods
but
sponsor,
they do like expensive cheese, and you got a little toothpick, and you come around, you put the cheese, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Whole Foods
like
does.
Like Jarlsberg.
Whole Foods does it. I had like a 18, like 40 or whatever. Like, that's what they call it, right? That's just the type of it. But it's like a Vermont cheddar.
Oh, yeah. I'm in on
that.
Dude,
that thing, just 1 kilo. I was like, that is like the strongest like cheese I've ever had, which tells me about my palate because there's some much funkier.
I love cheese.
I love funky cheese as we're waiting for Baldy here in just a second. I wonder what kind of cheese Baldy loves. Probably a slice of American
Power rank
guy.
Your number one cheese. And I'm talking versatility.
We had this conversation, didn't we? I feel like we talked cheeses. I think we did at one point.
I do love me some pepper jack.
I love pepper jack. I'm a nice Swiss guy, too. Love me some Swiss.
It's got to be on the right thing.
It does. Well, I love Swiss, like cheeseburger. I love my cheeseburger. Big Swiss kind of cheeseburger. Oh, yeah. It has a little tang to it, Joe.
Really?
I know everyone goes for the American. That's
fine. Nahegan, I look at him. He looks like a sharp cheddar guy.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's
an American
he's
guy?
He's a blue cheese crumble kind of a guy, I think. Feta?
Oh, no way. All the heaters he smokes, he can't taste the blue cheese.
I think he's more of a Baldy guy.
We got him? We got him? No? Carter. Oh, no. We had him and we don't. That's okay.
Good check swing there, Wilmer.
Hey, you know what?
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Crack, crack, crack. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
And he joins us courtesy of River Islands, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Brian Baldinger joining us here on the Morning Girls. Joe Spadoni alongside Joe Shasky. And Baldy, we'll bring you into the conversation right now. We're talking about fans because a Giants player, Elliot Ramos, left fielder. got some Giants fans. Their feathers ruffled, I will say, because he went at them defending his manager. There's a lot to be made about Bob Melvin, you know, whether or not, you know, Giants fans need to move off of him now. There's a lot of heat coming down on him. And basically said, you know, fans are going to be fans. There's nothing we could do about it. But outside people don't know anything. I'm not asking you a question about that in particular, but Shasky brought up a good point. I want to ask you, because you do all these breakdowns, Baldy, and you have either parents of players, players themselves, coaches, executives. I'm sure not everyone's happy with your breakdowns. Do people go out of their way, Baldy, either privately through a DM, they walk up to you, and voice some of their frustrations with you when you critique them and it's not exactly favorable?
Okay, all right. Well, good morning to you guys. It's good to see you. It's a good question, Joe. So here's the thing. Nobody does it to my face. Nobody. All right? Which is interesting. Like, but they'll do it online. Now, most people's social media is negative. They come at you guys for opinions, whatever. I would say 90% of mine is very positive. But there's 10% out there. And sometimes you delete it, especially if they're just like vulgar. Like you come after me with vulgarity. Like I'm a kid channel. Like I'm G-rated. I want 10-year-old kids watching my videos with their dads. You come after me with vulgarity, I don't care what it's about. Like I might just cancel you right there. But sometimes I'll take the heat and I'll respond. If I'm wrong about something, I usually admit it. If I was short-sighted on a player or a coach, I will readily admit it because I don't pretend to ever know all of it. I just go by what I see. So to answer your question, Joe, I get some of the heat that, you know, what you're talking about right there. And it comes with the territory. So I'm okay with it.
Going back to your playing days, was there ever any, you know, time you or a teammate had to deal with fan frustration? And I'll give you a second here. Like, I remember John Brody, the story famously goes that he was at Kezar and they were throwing beer bottles at him. You know, this is what they used to do from Kezar. And yes. He turned around and he flipped off the entire crowd and they gave him a standing ovation. And that was the moment he became the Niner quarterback. So is there anything like that that you ever had to endure or teammate?
Well, I remember going out to Candlestick when I was with, I might have been with the Cowboys, but we were playing a Monday night game, you know, and when, you know, at the Stick, you know, there was no underground drop off to them, like a lot of these stadiums. They just dropped you off right in the crowd. So two things. One, I was a young player. And, you know, they got Fred Dean, they got animals on the other side of the ball, right? It's like, you gotta come with your game face on. But, I remember, I was a kind of a favorite of the veterans, especially the defensive line. So I remember we're on a bus going to the Stick and I'm getting up ready to get off the bus and I get pulled back by like Randy White. He pulls me back to my seat and I'm like, what's up? He goes, let somebody else take the shots. Like, they'll get rid of all the bottles that you're talking about first. We don't need you to get hit, Baldy. And then when I came out of the locker room onto the field to warm up, somebody threw a hot dog with mustard at me. And I remember just seeing mustard on my clean uniform going, oh, that's the way it's going to be today. So, anyways, yes, I have had experience like that. And that stuff, that still happens when the buses pull into Lincoln Financial Field. You know, they're still ready to throw their eggs and, you know, welcome you to, you know, to South Philadelphia. That stuff still happens today.
I'm well aware. I went through that at the NFC Championship game. Yes, let's get into
sure
this. I know. Next time I go, you and me are going. You're going to be my escort. But,
all right.
Baldy, I'm watching this Niner game. And look, the preseason, do I think week 5, like it really truly matters whether Pearsall and Purdy look good back in week 2 of the preseason? Probably not. But I'm just a big believer in, like, when I finish a gym session, I want to hit a bucket. When I'm at the range, I want to flush an iron. I want to hit a line drive in baseball when I end my session. So to see Purdy go out there and look good and have a little connection, and the play for me with him and Ricky Pearsall was where Pearsall sat down when Purdy was scrambling, and he stopped, turned, boom, and he threw a nice little throw to him. I was encouraged with what I saw. Does it mean anything, though, Baldy?
Well, it does. It does mean something. There is a connection there. They had a couple of completions there, you know, when Brock was out there. They need Ricky Pearsall to be a number one, or as close to a one as you could get. I mean, he came out, like, there was three guys that basically came out of similar type. Ladd McConkey, right, when he came out. Pearsall coming out of Florida. Roman Wilson coming out. Like, these guys were route runners. They were tough. They could play outside. They could play inside. They showed versatility. And the only guy that we really saw last year play, was McConkey. And he was awesome. They need Pearsall to get close to being like a Ladd McConkey. Their problem right now is they don't really have anybody opposite McConkey with the Chargers. They're trying to find somebody that can balance it up a little bit to take some coverage away. But they need Pearsall to be good. I mean, they trade away Debo. We know what we know the injury history of some guys right there. So they drafted him in the first round for a reason, to be eventually, because they knew the quarterback contract was coming, and they knew they weren't going to be able to pay everybody, and there's going to be a release of a lot of good players and guys that won a lot of games there. So when you draft somebody in the first round like that, like, he's got a hit. And so that's where they're at right now.
Talking with Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roaster, Odyssey, and 95.7 The Game NFL Insider, courtesy of River Islands. And Baldy, do you think Pearsall could handle a number one receiver type workload this season? We saw Juwan Jennings do it, and we'll wait and see what's going on with Juwan, the calf, the hold in, hold out, whatever the hell you want to call it. But do you think that Ricky could handle that this season, given some of the injury history in his past?
Well, I mean, the injury history is tied to, you know, an unfortunate situation, you know, last year. You know, I mean, nobody can predict what happened to him. But, yeah, so, I mean, that was just an injured year. I mean, it's just bizarre. But, you know, I've only talked to him once or twice. I don't pretend to know him like I know some of the other guys on that team. But I would think that John Lynch is pretty thorough in his evaluation of these guys and what, you know, the whole interviewing process. And you're going back and you know, being pretty comfortable with taking him at the bottom of the first round. And so I would think that he has that mindset that I'm going to dominate, that I want to, you know, you give me your number one corner, I'm going to go beat him. I would think that's the mindset you want every receiver. Certainly Debo had it. Certainly other guys have had it. But I would think he's built for it because that's how they drafted him, to be that guy.
Baldy, I don't know how in-depth you were watching the last couple of games, but this kid, Marquis Siegel, looks like a player at free safety. We've been looking for a free safety maybe since Deshaun Golson or Eric Reed. I mean, we're talking over a decade ago. I think he looks outstanding. Nick Martin, I thought, flashed big time. Tatum Bethune. Who are the guys, the young guys on defense that maybe have stood out to you? I thought Alfred Collins didn't look good at all. I have big question marks on him. Just the young guys on defense for the Niners. Anybody popping for you?
Well, a couple of those guys you just mentioned. You know, like, we know that Mustafa is going to be good. We know that he's, you know, he's set to play. You know, you can play Jair Brown, but if you can upgrade the position, you're going to end up playing three safeties as it is. So we'll see what Tate can do. They're going to get tested. Like they play Seattle week one, right? And anybody that just watched Seattle play, they just ran for 268 yards. Graves Abel, like, that guy looks like the real deal, all right? I mean, he looks like he's ready to just move big bodies, and they look comfortable with him. Like, they look good. It's preseason, I get it, but they just pounded. And that's what they want to do. So they've got to, like you mentioned, Alfred Collins. Like, we haven't seen Mikel, but we got to – that defense line, if they aren't stout at the point, I don't care who's playing free safety. Because if the ball carrier is getting the free safety, he's making big tackles, that's a problem. So I'm worried about the front right now, and I'm looking for guys that can play in the front. And so right now, that's the reason why they drafted three guys up there, and they rebuilt their defensive line. They've got to be much better than they ever were at any point last year.
Another concerning thing, Baldy, when it comes to depth on this team, and really it's everywhere, quite frankly, but the running back depth right now behind Christian McCaffrey is very concerning. And all of that is wrapped into Christian McCaffrey himself and being a big question mark with his health coming off the season that he had. We don't know what to expect from the wear and tear this season from him. I say all that to say there's a guy that didn't play yesterday on Monday Night Football that is being talked about and getting traded potentially. One, Brian Robinson Jr., out of Washington. Should the Niners be interested potentially in trading for a guy like that just to have some depth behind him? Or do you feel like that would be kind of overkill?
No, I don't think it's overkill. I don't think it's, I mean, they've got to look, the injury problem at that position. I just watched Jordan Mason. He looks good. All the guys that came through San Francisco, like, why would you let that guy go? You know, he might end up like Aaron Jones is a great player. He's just a great player. He came out of the same draft as Christian McCaffrey. But he's still rolling. But they're going to run two backs because you can't run Showtime, you know, into the ground. So Jordan Mason looks good to me. I still can't believe he's gone. But, you know, some of these guys that they've drafted here in San Francisco, like they're on other teams, they're going to be good. But I'd be looking for depth at that position. I don't, honestly, nobody knows what McCaffrey's going to be until he gets out there. And we start getting the game, and he gets his 18 or 20 carries, and does he do what he has done, you know, since they traded for him from Carolina? Can he get back to that? We don't know. And so I would have a good insurance policy right there. I know guys are banged up right now, and it's been a real problem for them at that position. So I don't think that they can stock that position deep enough right now.
You know, we played – Pete Carroll last week with the Raiders, and we were doing some exercises on just comparing and contrasting Pete to Kyle and Pete around the league. And we got Jim Harbaugh this week. And look, I'm just a Jim Harbaugh lover. You know, he's kind of like one of the guys who got away from me, from my fandom, if you will. Like, I felt like I have unfinished business with Jim, you know, because of the way it went down at the end. And he's a great coach, and Kyle's a great coach. But if I was asking you, Brian Baldinger, We're starting from scratch, all right? Who would you hire as your head coach, Kyle or Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I would take Harbaugh. Like, just because, like, wherever he goes, the toughness that he instills in his team, for him to take a Brandon Staley team that was as soft as tissue paper, right, and turn it around in 1 year and get Deion Henley on the field. Like, why he wasn't on the field.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
His rookie year. Like that guy, nobody's Fred Warner in his business, basically, but he was their Fred Warner on that team last year. Just instilling confidence in his quarterback, belief in his team, like the way that he talks is to see Derwin James. I feel like Derwin James is his son, the way he talks about his coach. And that doesn't mean you're going to win or lose, and that doesn't mean that Kyle Shanahan, because everybody does it in a different way. Pete Carroll does it differently than either one of those guys. But there is something about the way that he connects with players. And his motivation never seems to get old. You never just hear it drown out over a period of time. It never stops. So, I don't know. Harbaugh would be hard to pass up if you had the opportunity to get him as a coach.
I love that answer. I mean, people don't have to agree with it, but I think you laid it out pretty well. There seems to be a trend just in general, like we went to got to have the offensive play caller be my head coach. And now I see a lot of these like CEO types where they don't necessarily call plays on either side of the ball. Obviously, Tomlin's been doing it like that for a long time, and so has John Harbaugh. Jim's that way. I think Sirianni's kind of that way, even though he slants more offensive. He doesn't call plays. You see Dan Campbell, he doesn't call plays. One way or the other. Are you seeing the league kind of trend more toward just hiring the right guy as opposed to maniacally obsessing for that play caller head coach duality, you know, position?
Well, I mean, Andy Reid still does it.
That's true.
You know, and so and Andy does it. You know, Ben Johnson is calling all the plays. But, you know, you look at Washington, you know, Cliff Kingsbury is calling their offense. He's got, you know, so you're still seeing a split around the league about how to do it. You know, it's an interesting combination to see Chip with Pete, honestly. But, you know, because we all know that, you know, you got your fill of Chip out there in San Francisco. He's a different breed. But he is innovative when it comes to offensive football. And he does have an undying belief in how to do it. And so I saw win 10 games in a row, 2 years in a row in Philadelphia with some scraps. Well, Shady McCoy led the league in rushing his first year in Philadelphia. So, you know, to see what they might do in with the Raiders is going to be really an interesting combination.
You can't say anything positive about Chip Kelly here on this show. Sorry,
yes, I know.
Yeah, no, he's enemy number one here.
He runs the same.
I'm in Philly. You can't do it either. But it's interesting. It's interesting because one thing about Chip, he leaves his mark. Like, he brought Jeff Stoutland to Philadelphia. Like, he's still the offensive line coach. And he's still the best in the NFL. So, like, you can say whatever you want about Chip, but he does leave his mark wherever he goes.
Hear that, Shasky? He leaves his mark. Sorry, he's going to leave his mark in Vegas this year, potentially, with Ashton Jeanty in that squad. Speaking of that game on Saturday at Allegiant Stadium, Jake Moody hitting those kicks, Baldy, towards the end to tie it and then to win it from 59 yards out. Does that do anything for you?
It does, because there was a lot of coaching that went into getting that ball back a couple of different times. There was like that ball, because of turnovers and whatnot and use of timeouts, there was like four possessions in the last couple minutes. And they did get the ball back with about 26 seconds to go. And it got them in position where you try to duplicate that in practice going, okay, if we make this field goal, there's no conditioning. If you make this field goal, we're eating steak tonight. I mean, you can do all the things you want to assimilate in practice to put them in a pressure situation. But there's only one pressure situation. It's, you know, to go win a game. And he did. So, look, it was a disaster last year from the kicking to the special teams. You know, that all has to improve this year.
Baldy, I got two quick ones before we say goodbye to you today. The first one, we got fantasy this week. All right. And I think everybody likes finding those diamonds in the rough.
Mm.
But that's not what I'm asking you about. Because, like, Brock Purdy's a diamond in the rough. He came out of nowhere. Who's the guy whose film you watched at any point in the last 20 years, and you were convinced that guy stunk, and they went on to completely shut you up after that and ended up being not just good, but great?
Gosh. That's a hard question, Joe. Because I'm trying to compress 20 years.
Cool. Let me give you an example while you think. Like Eric Armstead, I thought Eric Armstead stunk. Okay, now I don't think he was great per se. He was a really, really, really good player. I didn't know what position he was. I thought he was undersized. He was too slow. I didn't know if he was inside, outside, 3-4, 4-3. I didn't know what to do with him. And then he had a monster year in 2019, and he ended up being a hell of a ball player.
I thought Geno Smith, Baldy. I thought he wasn't going to be good at all. And then he resurrected his career with Pete Carroll in Seattle, and now he's in Vegas. And I'm expecting a lot more out of them.
No, Joe, it's great that you bring him up because I have heard stories. Now, Geno, look, when he came out of West Virginia, he was not ready for this. But he ended up, you know, he went to the Giants. And I'm close to a lot of the guys that are still in the front office, different positions with the Giants. And they tell stories about Geno. Like, this guy was not ready for the NFL from a professional standpoint. And I'm not going to say any stories on the air about him. But he found like some people find, you know, Jesus, some people find maturity, some people find like, oh, this is what it takes to be a professional. He found out what it became, you know, what it took. And so now he's got a good second act and it's going pretty strong here. But I didn't think DK Metcalf was going to be a star. I thought he was just a big, fast guy that could run straight. I didn't see anything at Ole Miss that told me that he was going to be like this target monster, honestly. I remember Russell Wilson saying, you're wrong, Baldy. Like, this guy can run every route. You do. Like, DK became a monster. And I wasn't sure when he came out of Ole Miss that he was going to be that guy.
I love that. DK's crazy, but he's a hell of a ball player. Baldy, I was watching over the weekend. My wife goes, oh, that's Baldy. I go, yeah, he's on the NFL Network. Because I think it was the Giants. Somebody was playing, and you were in the halftime show. And she goes, isn't he a big concert guy? I go, no, he's one of the biggest concert guys. So when I think of the cross-section of I love live music and I love the NFL, there may not be anybody bigger than you to answer this question. Taylor Swift hinting at maybe being the Super Bowl halftime show? What does that do for a Brian Baldinger?
Honestly, if you played me 10 of her biggest hits right now, I wouldn't be able to recognize one.
Really?
I don't know one of her songs. Not one.
I'm not against
Taylor Swift. I knew she just blew up the internet with the Kelsey's and the whole podcast last week. But honestly, I just never had any interest in that kind of music. So I honestly, it could be Dua Lipa. It could be like, I just never found any interest in that music. But if you told me, Baldy, how about that day where you were at, you know, Rich Stadium in Buffalo and Metallica was warming up for Guns N' Roses, I'll tell you all about it.
Brian Baldy, you're joining us.
Imagine that, Metallica warming up for Guns N' Roses back in 1992. And what Metallica became.
It's crazy.
We weren't, that was legendary.
I mean, Bay Area's own Metallica. We claim them diehards out here. And by the way, Baldy, real quick, while we got you here, we got something really cool going on in studio tomorrow. We got Catherine Breed, a Bay Area native in her own right, joining us in studio. And you might be like, who's Catherine Breed? Well, she's a marathon swimmer. And in 2026, she is planning on doing a 900-mile swim along the entire California coastline.
It's never been done.
Never been done. And we're interviewing in studio tomorrow. So I want to ask you, Baldy, outside of football, your greatest athletic achievement is what? And this is a guy, by the way, people, that swims with the Sharks out in Florida, all right?
All right? I got it. All right. So when I was in eighth grade, they built this brand new junior high school, Valley Middle School, across the street from our house. And it was like, you know, I mean, this was an epic, like, indoor swimming pool, you know, like, they just had all, like, it was amazing. So back then, like, I was into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, what are these records? Like, and just literally going record by. So At the time, they had a record for the longest basketball game ever played and the conditions. So we set out to play the longest basketball game ever played. So here's how it went. You were allowed to have two separate groups of 5-on-5, okay? We set out to play 168 straight hours, which is 7 full days.
Oh, my God.
Okay? So we started out with 5-hour shifts. So you'd play for 5 hours, then you'd rest for 5 hours. But that we changed it because it became way too long. So we checked with the Guinness, and we could change it to 3 hours on, 3 hours off. So I did that. But here's the problem. We didn't get the world record because two parents were concerned about their kids, like by day 4, going, this is like too harsh. The reality is too harsh. Now, I was having a blast. I was sleeping in a sleeping bag on the floor. Like, I was playing basketball. I was jumping off the diving board. Like, I was just like a kid going, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. That was my greatest act. I played 7 straight days of basketball at Valley Middle School in 1972. That's my greatest athletic achievement.
I love when I ask you the question. You're like, well, in 8th grade. I was like, are you kidding me, Baldy? 8th grade? Yeah. You're
you doing
that stuff?
You played like Charles Oakley.
And I was so pissed at those two kids. Like, I don't know if I talked to one of them ever again because they blew their opportunity for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, just really quickly, give me a 10-second breakdown. Were you the Charles Oakley of junior high? Like, what were you? Give me your skill set.
Xavier McDaniels?
No, I was a ping pong master. Ping pong was my favorite sport in 8th grade. Like, we had ping pong tables. I played every morning before school. Like, I played in a state championship ping pong tournament. I had a T-shirt that said Ping Pong Power on the back of it. I wore it every day. But basketball was my love. I could play basketball like all day, every day. But I was, you know, I'll never forget. We took a physical for 8th grade football, and I was the quarterback of our 8th grade team. I'll never forget. I was 5'4" and a half. 108 pounds in 8th grade. Yeah, I was like a little. I hadn't started to blossom yet, so I was not the Charles Oakley by any stretch.
You were the point guard.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Now I'm picturing Baldy like Forrest Gump when he's practicing all the ping pong by himself with the ice cream and everything.
I still have a ping pong table to this day.
I love
in my basement, my house in New Jersey.
I love it.
Hey, Baldy, great stuff,
you're
man.
The best,
we really
brother.
Appreciate it. We're up against it. We'll do it again next week. All right,
guys. Yep, you bet, man. Talk to you next week.
Yep,
there he goes. Brian Baldinger, courtesy of River Islands, which leads us now to the injury report. Carter, here we go.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
No, I can't wait to talk to Catherine Breed tomorrow in studio. We just kind of teased that right there, but swimming the entire California coastline? Are you kidding me? First and foremost, how is she going to stay warm enough is what I want to ask her. A wetsuit? That's it? Like, stuff's no joke, man. We got like the Arctic runoff over here. I know you know. We don't swim here in San Francisco or in North California, man. We don't do that. By the way, Saturday's preseason win over the Raiders was costly for one Corey Kiner. He had to be carted off the field with what is being described as a very serious left ankle sprain. He is a candidate to open the season on the 49ers injured reserve list. That would be brutal. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up with the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Brian Baldinger is taking Jim Harbaugh over Kyle Shanahan if he was starting a team by scratch. Are you 49ers fans taking Jim Harbaugh over Kyle Shanahan if you're starting a team from scratch? 888-957-9570.
We also have a Kuminga crisis.
A Kuminga crisis
update?
A little
tease for the other side.
On 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.